Bienvenidos amigos y amigas, this is Sexto Sol on 90.1 FM KPFT in Houston. You are listening to your host, of course, Ernesto Aguilar, and we have on the air tonight is our very, very special guest live from Los Angeles, man who I'll try to give a real brief introduction to, but I definitely want to go ahead and bring him in on this conversation as soon as possible. He is Rial Robinson of the Hip Hop Congress. He is also an artist and entrepreneur and has been very, very active in hip hop, both as an art form as well as a movement. Rial, you there with me, man?
Yeah, how's it going?
It's going well. It's going very, very well. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about kind of about yourself first? I guess is probably the best starting point. How you got really inspired to start the Hip Hop Congress, how you were inspired by hip hop, and where you're at today.
Well, basically, I got involved, you know, in music from my father, you know, like at the right age, like 3 and 4 years old from listening to him. He's a blues man. And so, my great uncle is Sam Cooke. So, you know, I guess, you know, music, you know, it goes through the family.
Absolutely.
And basically, you know, growing up in Chicago, from Chicago, we moved out to California, you know, towards Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Not first all Los Angeles, but then towards Oxnard anyway.
Right.
And then heading to Oxnard. And, you know, just being around there for so long, Oxnard is like a suburb of, like, Los Angeles. You know, it's in Ventura County. And so basically what ended up happening is, you know, you're there and all you can do is just start creating. And basically we start, you know, creating and start doing things. And then, you know, and after a while you start getting wondering, you know, who else is out there and where else do you go to get your music heard? Or, you know, because we did, like, underground tapes, you know, where people, we didn't have, like, guitar centers, you know. We had to make stuff off of, you know, tape to tape or CD loop tapes or pause mix tapes, you know, and just different things like that. And so basically, you know, just going through like elementary, junior high, high school. And around high school, you know, that's when I started really getting serious about, you know, what I wanted to do about, you know, for my music and everything. And so basically I started Congress when I was a junior in high school, and that was in 1993. And from there, you know, I was just like bring like groups together and people together who they want to rhyme, and we could start putting all kind of groups together, and we'll just go out and just, you know, go all around the spots and just, you know, be freestyling everywhere, you know, trying to perform at different places, doing school rallies, you know, just doing whatever we could just to get out there. And then just from there, you know, it just basically built up and start moving on and more and more and more. And what we started finding out was, you know, there's a lot of red tape out there. It's just like, okay, well, this person don't want to hook you up because they want to, you know, they want to hook up their other friends. And their friends technically are just their friends. They're not really doing anything serious, you know. They don't have any tapes, you know. And so we start finding out, well, man, maybe you just need to take this Congress thing to something bigger and start connecting with other people who are feeling the same way that we are. And we'll just put each other in the loop. And so basically that's how Congress began. As a, you know, it's just basically a big network for artists to come together, you know, so that, you know, if you have a show in, let's say, Texas, correct?
Right.
And then they got a show out in San Francisco, and we have a show in Oxnard and one in Los Angeles, then now we have, you know, we have four shows that we have a circle for. So people can just, you know, they can hit those 4 points, and everyone can just hit everybody's point and just keep coming through and help build up a name and, you know, and just keep moving on and make it like that, you know, with, technically without having to deal with so much industry problems. So.
Indeed. Now, you come from a pretty deep soul and blues background. What inspired you to get involved as a hip-hop artist? What
as hip-hop,
brought you into that?
I mean, you know, when I was growing up, there wasn't really like a defined word as hip-hop, you know? It was just like, it was just black music.
Right.
When we were growing up, you know, it wasn't like, okay, you do this or you do this. It's just like, you know, whatever we listened to, it was just like rap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's basically what it was. It's like, yeah, they're rapping out on the streets. But, you know, they were always rapping. You know, everyone's always, you know, like the old men out on the streets, they'd be on the corners and they'll be talking and groups would be singing and you'll be hearing people doing poetry. So, you know, that culture or that part of the culture has always been around. But, you know, just like recently, you know, I say, you know, like 90s, where it really became like, okay, this is hip-hop, you know, this is something here. But, you know, the generation I grew up in, it wasn't really defined as hip-hop. It was like the word was there, but at the same time, it's almost like more, it's more meant, you know, like hip is like you cool, and hop is more like a dance, you know?
Right.
Or a place where you go and dance.
Right.
So, you know, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
You know, compared to how it is now. Now it's it can mean so many different things to so many different people.
Right. And you kind of touched on a really important point that we've had discussions about on this show is regard to this whole change in the industry and the commercialization of everything where there is a lot of payola. Unfortunately, I hate to have to say that word, but there is a lot of payola and a lot of favoritism that unfortunately goes on in the hip hop industry. But I know that the Hip Hop Congress, from what I've read, is a little bit more than just simply a network. It's also something that has addressed social issues and a lot of other things. Can you touch a little bit on that, too?
Yeah, like, I mean, pretty much as far as not just Congress, but more in a sense of the members inside of Congress, they have, you know, issues that they want to tackle. And so, you know, they try to bring that out in the forefront. And so, I mean, it's just like, you know, anything from, like, voter registration to, you know, let's say, for instance, right now, the war, you know, or, you know, what could be a war or what is happening, or, you know, or even like spirituality or, and so it technically it's like, it's real tough for like Congress to actually say, okay, well, we support this or this because it can't.
Right.
Because of our nonprofit status. See, we can't have, you can't say, well, Congress endorsed this for this. We don't do any endorsing, but the members, everyone have, you know, different backgrounds as far as, you know, what we're trying to go after, what, you know, what we're looking at. Like, for instance, one big thing right now is, like, women in hip-hop, you know,
mm-hmm.
or women in general, you know, of, you know, the balance of power and different things like that, why certain things are this way and why certain things are this way, you know, and also, too, like, in a whole sense of, like, the race issue as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I mean, you look at it as, right now, one thing we're looking at is talking about, you know, the separation. It's not just like separation of hip hop, but it's like the new thing of saying, you know, Latino rap.
Mm-hmm.
And then so you got Latino rap. And so I guess that's like, let's say, Fat Joe and them, I guess. Right.
Right.
And then you have, let's say, so Eminem, he does white rap,
mm-hmm.
supposedly. So that means everything else, hip hop, I guess, is black rap then.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird, you know, set of definitions.
Yeah, and so what's happening is, like, even, and people aren't looking at it, like, too deep, but it's kind of basic. It's like, you know, racially, they're segregating everybody.
Mm-hmm.
When, at first, it was just like, you know, obviously, you know, it comes from, like, a black art form, but it also was culturized by other art forms, you know, by other races that brought other elements into it, which allow, you know, which allow it to grow and become where it is now. And so what ended up happening is, you know, now it's like it's really separating the races even more inside of something that kind of brought everyone together in a whole, you know?
Right.
And so it's like through Congress is like how we do it is, you know, technically, you know, really through the music is what really can draw people to everybody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So like you look like, say, for instance, Jimi Hendrix, for instance.
Right.
Jimi Hendrix, you know, his band was really you know, a white audience,
mm-hmm.
you know, but at the same time, what he was speaking about and what he was talking about helped them understand what was going on.
Indeed.
In our culture.
Indeed.
You know? And so it's like kind of like those are the kind of things that Congress is, you know, we're trying to, you know, tackle. Like, you know, why is everyone trying to split everything away? You know, yeah, we have to understand that this is from, you know, I happen to be, you know, I'm black. So I'm, you know, my culture. But at the same time, I understand that other people are allowed, they come into the culture and they have to learn, you know, what this culture is about or, you know, what different cultures are about and take it out into their culture. And it gets basically helps their culture as well, which helps out all our culture all in one, you know. And it's just like, I mean, as in a sense of Congress, we really don't endorse those things. But, like, I know I fight for, like, a lot of different things. You know, and just equality and just, you know, getting rid of this racial barrier, you know,
mm-hmm.
and especially in music, it's like it's there and it doesn't need to be there.
Right.
You know? Especially something that's supposedly an urban art form. It's like, okay, now it's really segregated even more. So So now they're setting everything apart because they're labeling it, and they're just like, basically, it's setting, you know, because for sales. So we know this audience is going to buy this, so we're going to push this to this audience. We know this audience is going to buy this, so we're going to push this to this audience. It's kind of like, okay, well, 50 Cent is going to work for, like, the black thug so-called, you know, people. Mm. And then you have this one. Well, this one's going to, well, Joe can meet, he can meet these people and these people and these people. And then this person here can meet these people and these people and these people, you know. So it's just those channels that are kind of, like, scary.
Right.
Yeah, if you really look at the channels, it's, like, really racially, it's not safe for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're thinking it's safe and it's cool, but, you know, it's building more segregation that we then actually unity.
But what I guess one of the questions that I would have right off the top of my head is that one of the things that we've interviewed a lot of Latino hip-hop artists, and one of the problems that they seem to see over and over again virtually from every sector of the hip-hop community, that can be from commercial to underground, is that they have very few venues to bring out music that that melds elements of both English and Spanish music that they can't otherwise get picked up anywhere else. They can't get bookings at venues. They can't get radio to play them. So they do market themselves as Latino hip-hop because Latino stations might be interested in something like that, whereas traditional hip-hop audiences wouldn't be necessarily interested. And unfortunately, I don't like to think of it that way, but unfortunately it's true. We run into a lot of traditional hip-hop audiences that may not necessarily look for that. Is it unfair for those artists to try to look for those kind of venues, or how does an artist who has a kind of a unique style or something that's not necessarily mainstream promote that kind of a thing?
Well, I mean, like, first, you know, we have to look at, you know, the system anyway. Like, for the mainstream, only a certain amount of artists is going to get a certain amount of shine on a major label.
Sure.
And so, I mean, you're looking at, like, let's say 5,000 Mexican artists or, you know, Latino artists, right?
Right.
You're looking at, let's say, 5,000 artists, but only 3 or 4 maybe is going to, you know, get to those top levels.
Right.
And then, so now you got, what, 4,996 artists trying to fight to get up into it, you know?
Right.
And the ones who are trying to still fight to get into it, yeah, they may get into the label, but they're going to be put on hold. They'll record a couple things, and they'll drop a couple things, and then they'll back, you know, they'll shelf their album. It won't come out. And then, so, yeah, they, yeah, well, let's, we're Latino in this. But then what happens is all the artists that they do pick up, they're going to end up dropping because, okay, well, Latin is not selling anymore. See, that's the whole thing. It's like the industry is about business. The industry is not about the artistic art. It's not about the art form at all. It's really about, you know, the business.
Right.
And if you're not in the top 3 or 4, you're not, when do you expect to come out, you know?
Exactly.
It's like, and so for these artists to you know, well, you know, we're going to go look for this audience, or we go to look to this audience, that's not a problem because I think everyone have to build their audience regardless, you know?
Right.
You have to build an audience, and you have to move, and you have to keep going, and you have to keep driving, and you have to keep pushing, and, you know, and that's like, I think everyone has to deal with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, and but to market, like, so basically, I should guess market my music since I'm black to only blacks then?
Well, I guess...
You know, that's like, okay, well, I'm only going to do this because, well, I'm only going to push my music to BET because I'm black, so I don't want MTV playing my stuff. It's kind of like, well, when you say Latino rap, it kind of gets, it kind of kills your whole thing of actually getting out there because it just puts you in a section where you're kind of stuck.
Right. Well, I guess what the perspective that I'm coming from or trying to articulate is that there are artists who consciously promote themselves as such. I think there's qualitatively a big difference between a black rapper who might be rapping primarily in English and a Latino rapper who might be doing purely Spanish or maybe doing a mix of Spanish and English. So I think it's a little bit of a difference.
Yeah,
well, I can understand where you're coming
from
a racial perspective, from a language perspective, and from a radio perspective, or just a sales or promotion type of perspective, it's a little bit harder for those kinds of artists, in my opinion. So
yeah,
it becomes a little bit tougher.
Yeah, I think definitely on a Spanish, on a language barrier, or the, because, I mean, you know, you're going to get the argument, well, United States is English-speaking. So you're going to have more people who are speaking English than you have people who are speaking fluent Spanish.
Right.
So, I mean, you're going to get that. And then at the same time, like, even, you know, where I come from in Oxnard, it's probably like 70% Mexican.
Right.
You know, but a lot of people who I know, they don't even speak Spanish,
mm-hmm.
but they're Mexican.
Right.
So they can't even listen to the Spanish music because they don't speak it and they don't even know what it's about.
Right.
You know, and so it's kind of like that does kind of hurt them in that sense. But at the same time, it's like me trying to go and cultivate over in Mexico doing only English rhyming.
Sure.
It's going to be real hard because of the English barrier. I'm going to have to come off on with something else and hit something else and hit something else to be able to catch them, you know.
Right.
But so, I mean, it's I guess, you know, in this country, it's really difficult to be, you know, English and Spanish, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that's I asked my friend, I asked him, I said, okay, so you have Latin music, and I understand that. But now they have the Latin Grammys.
Right.
Okay. Now, I don't know. To me, it seemed like, okay, well, that's kind of like a degrading to the artist, you know, Latin Grammys. Okay, so you have the Latin Grammys, but it's not a Grammy. It's
right.
Just the
you
Latin
don't have
Grammy.
Categories to fit all these quote-unquote Latin artists. You just
right.
create this brand new category because you just don't want to recognize all those artists with the level of a Grammy, or you don't think that they can achieve that. I see your point completely.
I'm like, okay, well, I know a lot of these artists, first of all, they don't look at their skin when they're doing their music.
Right.
They feel most of the time, art. You know, an artist is an artist. Like, if I can't understand the language, but I can feel the energy and I can feel the emotion and I can, you know, and I can catch up on things, you can kind of get into it and understand it and feel like, man, this has a soul, you know, regardless of
Indeed.
It, you know. So, you know, music, that's one thing about music. You know, you take out the language, just the music across the board, people can feel the beat. They can hear the music. They can, you know, everything fits inside the soul as long as it has a spirit, you know. And, I mean, that's like the first important thing I think most artists think about when they're trying to make their music. Like all this other marketing and all this other stuff, this happened to be with, you know, this is just extra industry things, you know, just to make the money on it. But it's like, I don't know how I say it, it's like, I don't really like the term Latin Grammys. So pretty much what they need is a Black Grammys now, too. Because I kind of like, well, I speak a different slang than the normal white would understand what I'm really talking about. So shouldn't I have like a, you know, the Black Grammys and next, you know, because we don't have, you know.
Right.
So it's kind of like, it's like, man, well, you know, if you're from here and you're in this country, then the music that's being put out by Universal Records from this country should be considered in the Grammys because it's music. It has nothing to do with, you know, yeah, I guess they're just only going by the language. I think that's what it is. So maybe there's going to be I guess, Japanese Grammys too, and then.
Well, I think a lot of it tends to be with what they're who they're marketing towards. Like a lot, like Sony Latino or Sony Latina rather, is something that it's obviously based here in the United States, but it actually mm-hmm. markets fairly heavily in Latin America. So it's kind of interesting because the Latin Grammys, I think, tend to be also be based quite a bit in how they're marketing. And that kind of brings us back to a really important subject, which is about the domination of the major labels in regard to the direction of music. And
oh, yeah.
We talked a little bit about 50 Cent. We talked a little bit about how labels end up marketing a lot of these artists. How do you think the Hip Hop Congress approaches that a little bit differently? I've noticed that it seems to, like you mentioned a little bit earlier, I think the artists, I mean, the Congress itself doesn't take a position or anything, but it seems to be very open in terms of having this free exchange of ideas, these artists who are willing to come in and work together towards a common goal, whether that be just promoting themselves, working together, and putting out something out there that's a little bit more alternative from what's out there on the mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, we want anybody. I mean, I wouldn't want to say you want anybody, but, you know, anyone who's willing to work and put the work in and the effort in to do something positive, that's pretty much the artist that we're looking at, you know? We try not to separate genres of like, hip-hop or rap, you know what I'm saying? I don't really want to say hip-hop, but because, you know, hip-hop is completely different than rap.
Right.
You know, so, but, like, for rap, like, we don't want to set the genres where you have a gangster rap and then now you have, I guess they call it thug rap now.
Right.
You know, I don't know. It's like they're not a gangster, but they're like a thug. So they're kind of like, they got the hard shell, but at the same time, they can be sensitive, I guess you could say. And then
it's like
you
a
have
bonbon
like,
or something, I guess.
Then you have like the, I guess, the lyricist rap.
Right.
Which the industry called backpack rappers.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird. You walk around with a backpack on and sell your CDs. That's what you are. You're a backpack rapper. Okay. And then you have the commercial pop rap, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Where, they're just after, whatever they want to say, the old cliche, oh, we're bling bling and, talking about this and talking about, basically what they think rap is now, And so it's kind of like you have like a big separation of different things. And then you have like battle rap now.
Right.
Where they're not really backpack. They're like, guess they're backpack rappers, but all they do is battle.
Right.
And then, so it's like you have like all kinds of different splits. So for Congress, we just want everybody in there. I mean, we want as many people in there as possible who are down to do something that's positive for themselves, but at the same time able to give something to somebody else. Because the industry, for anyone that's in the industry, they know their contact is their money.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to give up their contacts to somebody else who usually is going to, who can capitalize off their contacts and make money off of their contacts. When they're not making money off their contacts. So in the industry, it's like real close, everyone keeps their contacts very close. Like, I don't want to give you my contact because then you'll jump over me to get to something that I want to get, even though I can't obtain it and you do have the skill to obtain it. So Congress is like, we're not like that. It's like, we have a list of information. You can go to the website, look up any artists that you have there, get in contact with any of these artists, and these artists can help you get onto something else, And at the same time, if they have something that they want to get onto, it's like an exchange, Come here, and we go there. Come here, and we go there. And it doesn't matter whatever art. I mean, if this is not your crowd, then maybe this is the place you're supposed to be.
Indeed, indeed.
Because you find, for instance, church. I mean, whatever, I put religion out there or whatever.
Right.
But I find out that most people who preach are preaching to people who really don't need to be preached to.
Good
it's like
point.
The people who are in church are actually, they're the good people. Whatever you want to say, good.
Right.
Is. But
they're the believers.
Yeah, they're the ones who don't need to really be there.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who are having problems are the ones who aren't there and doing something that they're not supposed to be doing. So it's kind of like, you're preaching to someone who doesn't really need to be preached to. You need to go and preach to the people who really need to hear it.
Indeed. That's true.
Like, so for your music, it's like a lot of people, they're like, well, man, that's not my audience. They're not underground. They're not this. They're not that. Well, you need to go and show them what kind of music you have. Just keeping it over here is not good, It's like, and that's like one problem with underground heads. It's like, oh man, that's all pop and they're all jiggy and they're all doing this and they're all doing that. Well, you need to go over there and show them what you can do. If you have the real skill and you have the real, the flair for the art, they'll see your art and the truth is going to come out regardless of the fact.
Right, and that's a good principle to keep in mind because people can reject all kinds of things, but you don't uplift and you don't change things until you become more involved, until you show other people different ways. I mean,
right.
Otherwise things will continue to stay the same. I would definitely want to remind listeners to go ahead and grab out a pen and a piece of paper because I'm going to ask you to give the website information and some contact info. So if people who are artists or people who are interested in Hip Hop Congress want to get some information, they can go ahead and hit y'all up and get some info on how to get involved. What do you think are some exciting trends that are going on? What is interesting you at this moment in regard to rap, hip-hop, whatever is going on right now?
I mean, as far as rap, it's real difficult because, I'm an artist, too. So I listen to other artists, but at the same time, I listen to a lot of older music. But I listen to open, like, my ears are real open. Like, I heard 50 Cent's album.
Right.
And, I mean, he's doing his thing. Like, actually, he's doing his thing, and he's making what he has to do come out.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say if that's his complete artistic value, because that's what he decides to put out. But at the same time, that's what the label is going to want to put out anyway. So it's like he kind of like caught up there.
Right.
But, so like 50 Cent, he's doing good. Talib Kweli, he's doing good. A lot of people are saying, oh, yeah, well, he's doing this to sell records. Well, I mean, if you got a family and you got to live, you know, you got to sometimes do what you have to do. But at the same time, you listen to a Kweli song that's selling records, and you listen to a 50 Cent song that's selling records. That's two different styles.
Certainly.
Yeah,
certainly.
And so, I mean, I like Kweli, but, you know, but it's real hard to say, you know. It's real. I listen to, like, so many different people, like Socrates,
mm-hmm.
who's out of, you know, I think he believes out of Canada.
Right.
And so, and at the same time, I listen to a lot of turntablist stuff, like DJ Petrix, DJ Still Will, like a whole IF2, Visible Scratch Pickles, Beat Junkies, you know, man, Top Ramen. I listen to a lot of turntablists like that, Executioners, you know. So you have, like, so many different styles of hip-hop that people are, like, not listening to. Like, you have turntable tracks that are made just from scratching, you know. So people should go out there and listen to that and pick it up, you know. Or you have, like, beat makers that are just comprising complete beat CDs, you know. Pete Rock, you know, Primo, Madlib, you know, just, like, so many different people. My man Can Kick. All these guys, they're, you know, all these guys here, they're putting out a lot of different things. So it's just like, I think what right now, I'm really into, like, a lot of that, you know, a lot mm-hmm. of just different styles, to where it's just, like, twisting, and it's not always giving you the same direction, but it's more like soul music. It's like you can feel it.
Right.
And it's something that regardless of who you are, I mean, you can touch on it. And it's just like man, it's just like so, I mean, there's just so many different people that you can connect with, that it's just like, I mean, I listen to No Doubt, or I listen to, you know, System of a Down. You know, they're ill, mm-hmm. you know? And, you know, for me to say, well, okay, that's not hip-hop, but that gives me the same feeling that rap gives me of the music that I listen to.
Right. You were about to touch on one of my last questions, which was, we've seen the kind of the evolution of the art form bring in so many different kinds of musical styles over the past 5 years in particular. What do you think is going to be the next style that's going to be merged into all this to create a different kind of sound?
I mean, what do you mean? Like more on an industry level or just artistic?
Just artistically, honestly.
Man, that's real hard to say. I mean, because it depends on the art or the artist. Depends mm-hmm. on, you know, how open they are and what they're trying to bring. I mean, right now, it looks like the new thing that is happening is spoken word.
Indeed.
I mean, you know, a lot of money is being put into that right now, and a lot of people are pushing towards that because, you know, they're actually giving more of a message than what the rappers used to give.
Right,
like
that's
they're
true.
they're taking over that particular job, you know?
That's true.
You know, but I guess, you know, you're looking at, like, spoken word, but, I mean, you're just going to see a lot of different fusing. I mean, you're always going to have, like, the classic hip-hop, you're going to have the classic punk, you know, but you're going to have, like, these groups who are, you know, the younger kids who are hearing everything, they're going to just come up, and they're going to be able to hear everybody's thing, you know. And, I mean, even, like, Latin music, like, what about, like, Norteño, you know?
Exactly. And there actually are some hip-hop artists, particularly in Mexico, which are mixing Norteño with and Tejano music with hip-hop.
Yeah, see, so those are the next sounds that people have to go out and adventure and find. Because, I mean, a lot of those artists, too, if they go to France, they'll be accepted very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though they don't speak French, but they listen to the music. Or you can go to Germany, or you can go out of this country, and people accept the art forms. But somehow, when we enter this country, we have, like, so many different people, and it's so diverse, but we don't accept the art forms as much as everyone else because we're looking at the major labels to do it for us.
Very true.
But with the consolidation of the major labels, one good thing about it is there's going to be a lot of independent labels coming out.
Yeah, that's true, too. And I think it's going to help a lot as well.
Yeah, but just as long as people know that even the independent labels are about making money, too. You know,
unfortunately, that's true.
Yeah, they're not just there just to do it. You know, they're making good money.
Right.
You know, so if not, they wouldn't be a label anymore. But it's just like, I mean, I'm hoping that my sound is going to be, people will be able to accept it and hear it. If they can't accept it, then I just keep pushing it. As long as I'm happy, that's my first goal. as long as I'm happy, that's my first goal.
Yeah, now, satisfaction as an artist, I think, means should probably be the primary motivator as you're making music.
I believe so, because you, I mean, when you leave this world, you have to think, man, is there something that I'm leaving for anybody?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, you know, that responsibility is looked over when people look as artists. You know, it's kind of like I do my music, like in a sense, because I teach karate as well.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine me going out there, nothing against like 50 Cent, but if I, let's say I was 50 Cent,
right,
or I was Tupac, mm-hmm, or I was Biggie, nothing wrong with those guys. You know, I like their music. I buy their music.
Right.
But imagine me going out there rhyming how they rhyme and me coming back telling and teaching karate to these,
right,
kids. And these parents are looking at me like, you rap like this, but you're going to teach my kid on how to, you know, how to do things. It's just like a lot of times, you know, people or artists, they don't want to live up to the responsibility that they put themselves in. You know, it's like even though you don't want the responsibility, it's there. It's like for these Latin rappers or black rappers, just any artist that's coming out, you know, from the Latino standpoint, if you come out there, you know, just smacking girls and, you know, having that, I guess what it's like, the machismo, I guess it's called.
Right.
Right. You come out doing that and you just fit into the so-called stereotype of the Latin male, you're not doing anything to help your culture in this country.
Indeed. That's
and
true.
It's the same thing for, you know, you coming out thugging and shooting people and showing all your gold and all your diamonds. It's like you're doing all those things. That's the first rule that you don't do if you come from a major city. If you come from a ghetto, you don't be flashing your gold and your jewels around. You'll get robbed. That's against the rules of the urban community. You just don't do that because, you know, that's kind of like, well, oh, I'm a Crip, so I'm gonna walk around with all my blue on in a blood neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Problems. You're giving yourself problems. You know, it's like into a, I don't know, police office with, you know, pounds of cocaine on you.
Right.
you're going against the rule of what you're really supposed to be doing. So it's kind of like to portray that on television and to only show that shows that, you know, we're living part of that American dream, you know, and unfortunately the American dream is built on, you know, doing whatever it takes to get what you want, not always living up to your standards. I think sometimes that particular dream is not very clear to everybody. Because people say, oh, they have a Mercedes, and they have this, 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 and this, and this. And they think, this is what I want, so I'm just going to take that.
Indeed.
And a lot of the music that these major labels are pushing is portraying that. Hey, if you don't have that, take the next man's. Not, hey, if you don't have that, figure out something what you can do, earn it, you know, feel good about it, support your family, and get yours. And if somebody else can help, you know, help them out. But that's because, you know, it's like every man for themselves kind of type thing, instead of being like, if we're in a company together, I have a Mercedes. I'm driving around in a, you know, S-Class 500 Mercedes, living in the houses out in Malibu, blah, blah, blah. But all my people who are working around me still live in a dirt apartments, still got roaches climbing everywhere, kids are underfed. I mean, what kind of person am I to be working with them? My people aren't being uplifted anymore.
Exactly.
You know? And so, I mean, the artists, we have to always think, you know, man, we have to uplift our people regardless of who they are. Because, you know, like, say, for instance, Public Enemy's biggest crowds were white. Because, and it's kind of like, wow, I'm doing all this music for my people, you know, like Chuck D, he's doing all the music for his people, but it's not his people who are listening to the music. It's like the music that he's doing it for is, you know, you're not getting the right people who you're doing the music for. He's like, I didn't do this for this audience, because this audience kind of already understands that.
Right, right.
You know, I'm doing this for the people out here, these thugs out here who's shooting up on the block, who I know, who I see down the street walking around. And only reason I know these things because, you know, I grew up in that kind of neighborhood. I was a young kid walking around like that and seeing all those kind of things, you know.
Great point.
You know, the same place where I played basketball at, you know, they have people running through robbing the trains.
True.
You know, it's kind of like fun, you know, the fun and the hustle all on the same block. The place that I went to go buy ice cream at this local house was the same place where they were selling drugs. So I'm there buying the ice cream. Next man come out, I'm thinking he's getting an ice popsicle. You're not getting that.
It's too funny. You know? Too funny.
And that's what they're portraying on the television. But, you know, all you can do is just hope and just cross your fingers that, you know, people are going to start doing things because they understand that, you know, television is now the new babysitter.
Yeah, unfortunately. But it will change. Things will change. Real, can you give some contact information? We got to wrap this thing up. Can you give
people a
little bit of contact information about Hip Hop Congress, how they can get involved, and who you're looking for to get connected with?
Okay, yeah. Like for Hip Hop Congress, if you want to get involved, you can just go to our website, which is www.hiphopcongress.com or hiphopcongress.org. And basically, you go up, there'll be an information where you can click on membership or how to get involved or join, and you'll get a information in the mail, and it gets asked you, you know, what you can do to get everything started. You know, basically, you can go to like the meetings at different chapters. You can create a chapter, create a community chapter of yourself. You can pass out or print out flyers or stickers or whatever. You can just practice your art, you know, MCM, B-boying, graph artist, turntablist. You can just practice your art, strike up conversations just with different people around you. You know, it's just like so many different things. Start an awareness festival, which is like deal with the community. So you bring the community involved in with it so they can understand what you're trying to do. Man, you can just join a committee. You can, you know, run for mayor of your city and join a Congress. You know, you can, it's just like so many different things, but, you know, the first step is, you know, just go online to www.hiphopcongress.com, and all the information will be there, you know.
Good deal. We have been
checking out stations like this, you know.
Oh, definitely so. Definitely. We've been speaking tonight with Real Robinson of Hip Hop Congress. You definitely want to check out hiphopcongress.com. And, Real, thank you very, very much. Any final comments you want to share with people?
Oh, no, just support your art forms in your community. Support the local people. You support them, they'll support you. That's basically all you need to do.
Truer words were never spoken. Real, thank you very, very much for your time this evening.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you. And you have been listening to Sexto Soul on 90.1 FM KPFT in Houston. We are out for the evening. Thank you very, very much for listening. Next week, Roberto Rodriguez. Stay tuned for Stacy. Coming up next, KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston.